Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, happy Monday, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. What is today? It's the first day of spring, and it's the first day of our rapture countdown. If you were able to get yourself one of our 2023 NTEB calendars and you turn to the month of March, you will see on March 20th, that is today, that starts our Blue Line Rapture Countdown timeline. And we're going to be talking about that later on today. But is Donald Trump actually about to be arrested, or is this just the latest installment of the Great Reset Theater? If you've been waiting for a lull in the action, this week is not going to be the week for you. In addition to the breathless anticipation that the media is forcing us to have regarding the possible impending arrest and handcuffing of Donald Trump, there's a whole lot of other stuff going on as well. Not the least of which is Paris set on fire after the devilish machinations of Emmanuel Macron. Communist Chinese leader Xi Jinping landed in Russia, in Moscow today, for high-level meetings with war criminal Vladimir Putin. And in Israel, the fifth term of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is not going very well at all. Genesis 49:1, and Jacob called unto his sons and said, "Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days." On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, there is so much happening. Like a kid in the candy store, it's hard to know where to look first. Now, is Donald Trump really, come on, is Donald Trump really about to be indicted and arrested? Well, that's what he posted on Truth Social on Friday. And judging by the millions of dollars of free primetime advertising that one post has already generated, Trump has accomplished what he set out to do. Whether or not he actually gets arrested tomorrow is beside the point. Let the 2024 games begin. That's what it feels like, right? Doesn't it feel like it's a game that we have all been immersed in and are being forced to play, whether we want to or not? Well, welcome to day 1099 of 15 days to flatten the curve that was, ironically enough, first implemented by Donald Trump. Kind of feels like we've come full circle, doesn't it? Well, we have. Today in the podcast, we start with the possible impending arrest of Donald Trump, and we make our way around the world and check in with all the other players of the Great Reset Theater Group. In the words of that old Eagles tune, "You can check out any time you like, but you can never leave. The only way out is up." All of this and more on today's Prophecy News Podcast. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, God, for waking us up today and putting food on our table and clothes on our back and a roof over our head. God, we thank you for a wonderful Sunday service yesterday. And Lord, today we lift up Annetta for a complete healing and the ability to walk again after having a stroke. Robert Wiley is battling ALS disease, and we're praying for him and his wife, Lisa. Elena Blackburn, Kelsey Emerson, Aaron Riddle, and Gary Tatterson's daughter, Kayla, they're all expecting, and we are praying for the mothers and the babies and the fathers and a good, safe, healthy delivery. Right on time, right on the Lord's time. Jeanette's cousin Andrew is very thankful for all of our prayers. He had a stroke, but he'll be going home soon, and he says thank you, and we're very, very happy to do that. Rob Beattie's colon cancer has come back. We're praying for him. Mark Saxa wants prayers for his son Joseph to return to the Lord. Clayton Perry struggling with cancer and chemo side effects. Harmon's son Michael and Craig R. Ford needs prayer for pancreatic cancer. Aaron Riddle's sister Tracy has metastatic breast cancer. Jill Puckett needs prayer. She's losing her vision. Shara Shine has health issues and is requesting prayer for her three kids, Nicole, Sherry, and Scott. CJ's mom needs to get saved. Carol Jane is still in the hospital till the end of this week, or the end of this month, excuse me. Maddie Luck is battling Lewy body dementia. Aunt Nancy is praying for Brandon and Michelle to get saved. Rebecca Lynn has a friend, Joel Smith, who had a stroke and he's not saved. Rebecca, if you're listening, please give us an update on Joel Smith. Jill up in Kinnelon Baptist Church in New Jersey, she needs prayer for open heart surgery. She's going to have valve replacement. And please pray for Jill and her boyfriend Dave as they go through this. Kevin Thompson needs prayer for finances, lawsuit, career change, and gospel track success. Angela's mom for healing and salvation. Deborah Shular, health issues after getting a parasite. Charlton's wife Debbie is having eye surgery today. Please remember Debbie in your prayers. And Charlton. Yasmina, please pray for my daughter's godfather in the hospital with lung cancer. Leslie, she needs prayer that the Lord will order and reorder a financial situation that she's involved with. And just please pray that the Lord would give her the victory there. Scott and Debbie Lyman, please pray that the Lord will move us to Florida. Julie Baird and her friend Katie have COVID. Catherine Martino, please pray for my nephew Stephen, and he suffered a sudden cardiac arrest while swimming. Kevin Thompson, gut issues, and he found a good doctor, and he has the funds. If I understand this correctly, please pray that the treatment is successful and gets his life back on order. God has provided the funds for him to get the medical care that he needs. So please keep Kevin Thompson in your prayers. Jeanette W., please pray for our daughter-in-law. Her very close friend died on Wednesday in a house fire that she didn't get out of, and she's having a hard time with that. Amen. Marie Shiroki, urgent prayer. Friends of mine daughter went missing. Marie, if you're listening, please send me an update on that. And please pray for the parents as well. Jill Hall, I told my coworker Alan about the NTEB Sunday service and pray that he and his wife will listen. Also, please pray for my parents who are battling some health issues and for God's strength. Amen. Can you please put John Bayor on the unspoken list as he has an urgent need? And the situation is preventing his two young boys from learning about the Lord Jesus. Karen says, I want to thank everybody who prayed for my dad. He passed away on the 14th. I believe he's finally at home with our Lord. I miss him terribly and look forward to seeing him again. I am asking for a special prayer in the service. My dad was Catholic, and the viewing and the Mass are on Tuesday in a Catholic church. I asked our Bible-believing pastor to give the eulogy, and he had to submit the plan of what he wanted to say to the priest for approval. I guess not a whole lot has changed since the Dark Ages. But I pray that he'll be allowed to speak and that God's message will reach those that need to hear it. Also, I have requested prayer for Alan, diagnosed with lung cancer, and his wife, Jeanette. Well, Alan passed away. He had a very strong faith, as does his wife. She needs to be lifted up in prayer for strength and comfort. Absolutely. And Karen says, finally, I am asking for a special unspoken request. Kathy says, please pray for my nephew at the hospital. Please pray for his parents and sisters as they say goodbye today. I don't know what that's all about, but that sounds very, very serious. Is that the big goodbye, or is that goodbye, we'll see you later? Either way, sometimes these prayer requests come over and they're raw. And sometimes I'm not quite sure what's being asked. And please pray for Kathy with her nephew and whatever the situation is at the hospital. Unspoken prayer requests, the LaPiana family, Jeanette, Marie C., Chris Hart, Adrian P. Breda and his wife, Regina, and Kate. She needs prayer concerning a housing situation and an unspoken. B says, I have a little bit of a cold or a flu today. Listening to the broadcast, please pray for me. Amanda, good morning, everybody. So sorry we missed the service yesterday. Whatever I had for cooties, it came back, and Mike is sick as well. I am listening, but please pray for Mike. And you know what? I hear that all the time. And whatever, it's like we've entered a state of sickness, and it's not just COVID. It's everybody is getting like this recirculating sickness, and it's really kind of a phenomenon. But please pray for Amanda and her husband Mike today as they battle whatever it is. Rob says, settling my parents' estate, please pray that everything would go smooth. Blaine, can I please get prayers that I get on the waiting list for the income-assisted apartments I'm trying to go to? Absolutely, brother. Catherine B., please continue to pray for my son's friend Ben. In 2 weeks, he'll know whether or not the experimental chemo is working. Berta Crab says, please pray for Mike. He's having chest pain. If that chest pain gets too bad, go to the hospital. Do not try to tough it out. The way I look at it, chest pain, to me, has a very short fuse. And if you're experiencing chest pain and other things like a hotness or a numbness in your arm or in your back, please have that checked out. But we absolutely will pray for Mike. Jeanette says, please pronounce Behor like you say the name George, Orge, Behor, Behor. That's really as close as I can get, and I apologize if I am not pronouncing it right, but B-A-J-O-R, Behor. Guest Sure says, please pray for my interview at 2 o'clock. And here's an update. The nephew is not dying. The parents and relatives are just leaving town. And Jeanette is telling me, Bay George. all right. We'll call it Bay George. But please pray for everybody on the list today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Father God, for all these that you've gathered here today. For everybody that needs a healing, Lord, please give that healing. Everybody who needs reconciliation, and everybody who needs finances and restoration and whatever the need may be, Lord, and especially this swirling sickness that everybody seems to be affected by. Please, Lord, help us, heal us. Some of us have things that are really, really bad. Some of us have things that are just a hindrance and an aggravation. But whatever it is, God, we just come before you and ask you to give us the healing that you know that we need. And we commit this time to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. A number of people in the chat room are talking about if you have ongoing chest pain, go to the hospital. And that's really, really good advice. I felt about a year and a half ago like I was having a heart attack. And I took myself to the hospital and my blood pressure had gone through the roof. And you should have seen the look on the nurses' faces. It sure looked like that's what was happening. But when they got me inside and they did the tests, they said, believe it or not, you just had an anxiety attack. And $2,000 later, that's what it costs at the emergency room in St. Augustine, Florida. But I'm glad that I went. I'm glad that I went because it certainly felt like it. And the nurses at first thought that that's what was happening, but that was not happening. And I passed all the tests, and that was a huge load off of my mind. But there's lots of people in that same situation, and they feel the pain. They think it's only anxiety, and they don't go to the hospital, and sometimes bad things happen. So if you're not sure, go get yourself checked out. All right, let's talk today. Let's talk today. Here's a headline for you. New York Police Department is setting up barricades outside Manhattan Criminal Court right now. Is Donald Trump, this is the $64,000 question, is Donald Trump really about to be arrested tomorrow? Let's take a listen to what the people at Fox News had to say about that.
And for more on our top stories, let's bring in our political panel. With us today is Brad Howard, a Democratic strategist, and Matt Gorman, a former NRCC communications director and vice president at Targeted Victory. Good to see you both. I have about 85 things to talk to you about, so let's begin what's happening in Trump world. And Matt, I do want to begin with you, because when you consider all of the investigations going on regarding the former president, you have the documents at Mar-a-Lago, you have what's happening in Georgia as well. This is an interesting move that is happening possibly this week, not to mention that right now with the potential of a misdemeanor, and as Nate Foy was reporting, like a really intricate path to a possible felony. What are your thoughts on the validity of all this?
Yeah, look, I have not thought highly for a long time about Alvin Bragg, who's the Manhattan District Attorney, who is supposedly going forward with this indictment, if the reports are true. He's the person who came in on the first day of office and said all these violent crimes we're not going to prosecute. We're going to take the penalties down for them. So I don't put much stock into him as a DA. But look, I've been through presidential campaigns in the past. There's a lot we don't know. We're not sure how this is going to affect it over the next 72 hours, over the next several months. It's the old Mike Tyson quote, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face, essentially. So over the course of 2024, the next 72 hours, there's a lot to be learned.
Brad?
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. The 2024 presidential election is political lifetimes away from today. Right. But, you know, say what you will about this prosecutor, and regardless of how you feel about him, this is a jury, a grand jury that has been presented evidence that if they decide there's enough evidence worthy of allowing a trial to come forward, then that's regardless of the prosecutor. That's a jury of average, everyday working Americans who think there's enough evidence for a crime, and therefore he should go to trial. So let's keep in mind what we're talking about here. A prosecutor can't unilaterally bring an indictment against an individual in America. You have to convince a jury of your peers, and then you go to a trial where you have a jury of your peers to decide whether you're guilty or innocent. And in America, everyone is innocent until proven guilty.
Okay, well, let's move on now to the banking crisis fallout this week, because the Biden administration, you know, assuring that it will guarantee.
So there you have the people over at Fox News talking about the validity of the charges that are being brought against Donald Trump. And from what I can tell, so far there is one charge that everybody knows about. And that charge has to do with giving Stormy Daniels hush money after he allegedly had a sexual encounter relationship with her. I'm not really quite sure exactly what he did or did not do with Stormy Daniels, who is, I think she acts in low-grade porn movies, and she's a stripper, if I understand that correctly. And supposedly at some point, Donald Trump had sex with Stormy Daniels once or twice. I'm not really sure. And then when he decided to run for president, he allegedly gave her money to stay quiet. Now, obviously, she did not stay quiet. She hired, what was the name of that lawyer that she hired? Michael, Michael, let me look it up. And that guy's in jail now because he was just Michael Avenatti. Michael, remember that guy? And a couple of years ago, he was the darling of CNN and MSNBC, and they were all telling him that he has to run for president, and then he decided to run for president, and, well, he decided that he had decided to run for president. And then, as he began to make those moves and people started investigating him, it turns out that Michael Avenatti is a career criminal who stole millions and millions of dollars from his clients. He tried to extort Nike for $20 million. And this guy is an absolute, I mean, he's just a piece of junk. And I mean, pray for him to get saved. But, and you know what? Maybe we should find out what prison that Michael Avenatti is in and see if we can send that prison some King James Bibles. And I'm not making a joke. I think we should. If somebody listening now could research the name of the prison where Michael Avenatti is, I'm going to see if we can send them some Bibles, some King James Bibles. But Michael Avenatti went to prison after being Stormy Daniels' lawyer because he's a criminal. He is an absolute criminal. And it's so funny that he was anointed as the latest Trump slayer. And it's a funny thing. It's a funny thing that they have been trying to take down Donald Trump actively since about 2015. So this would be the eighth year that they've been trying to take down Donald Trump. And isn't it a funny thing? Now, I am not saying that Trump is a choir boy, and I am not saying that he doesn't have a lot of skeletons in his closet. I am just simply saying that isn't it funny that with all the stuff that you think that you might be able to get Trump on, that they absolutely have been unable to take him down. And not only that, but a lot of the people that have been trying to take him down, those people have actually taken themselves down, like Michael Avenatti being in prison right now. And it's just a curious, funny thing that that's what's happening. Let's listen to a little more of this.
These depositors, these customers at Silicon Valley Bank. However, also adding that a special assessment will hit these banks, prompting Missouri Senator Republican Josh Hawley to tweet, quote, "What's basically happened with these special assessments to cover SVB is the Biden administration has found a way to make taxpayers pay for a bailout without taking a vote on it." Brad, you first.
Well, look, I think the Biden administration's in a tough spot because, in a way, we have...
All right, let's take a listen to this clip. Sorry about that pause. I had the microphone turned off. But if you had been listening to the news in 2018, 2019, and 2020, you would have heard a repetitive theme going back and forth from the fake news media, something that they desperately wanted to be true. And one of the things that you'll notice that the media loves to do is they'll just simply repeat something over and over and over in the hopes that you'll believe it, and then somehow it will become a self-fulfilling prophecy. Take a listen to this Trump bombshell montage. The walls are closing in.
Donald Trump's done. He's done. There's no question about that. He's done.
Breaking news.
A bombshell.
Today is a turning point. Today was historically bad for President Trump.
Today was a turning point.
A turning point.
We're at a turning point here.
The beginning of the end for the Trump presidency.
The beginning of the end.
And breaking news.
We have another bombshell.
Mike Pence might have to assume the office of the presidency.
The call for impeachment.
Rumblings of the word impeachment.
Breaking news.
Another bombshell out of the White House.
I believe this is the beginning of the end.
I do too.
It's really the beginning of the end.
The beginning of the end.
He may be feeling the walls closing in on him.
All the walls closing in on him.
The walls closing in on him.
Breaking news, a new bombshell.
One astrologer says this means the beginning of the end for President Donald Trump.
The beginning of the end of the Trump presidency.
Trump will resign.
Trump is going to resign.
Is this the tipping point? I know we've said it over and over.
You think this is a tipping point?
And over and over.
This is a tipping point.
And over and over.
Breaking news, President Trump off the rails.
It was the beginning of the end today.
The beginning of the end.
It reminds me a lot of the last days of Nixon.
Breaking news tonight, new bombshell.
This is the beginning of the end.
The beginning of the end.
The walls are closing in.
The walls closing in.
The walls closing in.
Breaking overnight bombshell.
This is a very dramatic day, and I think it might be near a tipping point. Do you think this is a tipping point?
This is unbelievable. This is remarkable. Have you ever seen anything like this?
His presidency is crippled.
December 1st, 2017, you can mark it down. This is the day that everything changed.
We begin with the bombshell.
The beginning of the end.
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 In fact, if this were a football game, we're in the third quarter. May even be the beginning of the end.
We begin tonight with the bombshell.
Donald Trump is in a lot of trouble.
Trump is in trouble.
The president will resign.
Another hour, another bombshell.
This is a tipping point.
Trump's going down.
This president could be impeached.
I do not think the president will serve out his term.
Resignation.
Resignation.
I don't think this president is going to serve out his term.
Mr. Trump will not serve out his term.
He will not serve out his term.
No way, no how.
Breaking news.
Absolute bombshell.
I think Donald Trump is in trouble.
Donald Trump is not. He's done. And it's over.
It's over.
The wall's closing in.
The wall's closing in.
This is going to be the Achilles heel.
Breaking news tonight. I expect Trump to depart.
This week will be the watershed week.
Trump is in big trouble.
Trump's in a lot of trouble. It's a sign of a terrified old man who feels the walls
closing in.
The walls
are increasingly
closing in on him.
Tonight, the walls
are closing in.
Today changed everything. This is the beginning
of the end.
Today, the biggest
tipping point for the Trump administration.
What a historic day. The bombshells, they fell.
It's entropy and it's crumbling internally.
He's underwater. He feels the walls closing in.
Could his testimony be a turning point?
We may be at a tipping point.
It's the beginning of
the end.
The beginning
of the end.
Another bombshell.
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 This is a bombshell.
It is a bombshell.
I am beginning to resent the word bombshell.
So that was just a quick nostalgic look back at what life was like in America in 2017, 2018, 2019. That's what the mainstream media likes to do. And obviously, these people are professional liars. And you listen to a clip like that. That covered every single news station. I think it might even have covered somebody saying that on Fox News. But obviously, there were no bombshells. Obviously, they were not able to get rid of Donald Trump while he was president. They were able to hinder him. They were able to tie him up in court and do all sorts of things like that. But they didn't have any bombshells. Now, I was looking in the chat room and Shannon was saying, who is it that writes all these scripts? And have you ever wondered, is there one central place where everybody gets their talking points from? As it turns out, there is one central place where ABC, NBC, CBS, National Public Radio, Fox News, there is one place that writes all the news for everybody. It's called Sinclair Media. Take a listen.
Hi, I'm Fox San Antonio's Jessica Headley.
And I'm Ryan Wolf.
Our greatest responsibility is to serve our
Treasure Valley communities.
The El Paso, Las Cruces communities.
Eastern Iowa communities.
Mid-Michigan communities.
We are extremely proud of the quality, balanced journalism that CBS 4 News produces.
But
we are concerned about troubling and trying to be responsible, one-sided news stories plaguing our country.
The sharing of biased and false news has become all too common on social media. More alarming, some media outlets publish these same fake stories without checking facts first.
The sharing of biased and false
news has become all too common on social media.
More alarming, some media outlets publish these stories
simply
aren't true without checking facts first.
Unfortunately, some members of the media use their platforms to push their own personal bias and agenda to control exactly what people think, and this is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
This is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
So there you have just a little random sampling of about 15 different news organizations, local news, national news, from everywhere, from Maine to Florida and from New York to San Francisco. And there is one company that pushes the big stories, Sinclair Media, and they push it out to everybody, Fox News included. And this is why you have to, whenever you see that breaking news headline, your very, very first thought should be, what do they not want me to see? Not what does the headline say, not what is the breaking news. The very first question that you should ask yourself is, what does the media not want me to see? And if you can have that frame of mind, it's going to be highly unlikely that you're going to get fooled by the fake news. Now, speaking of fake news and speaking of things that are not true, I came across this clip earlier today. I really hadn't planned to talk about this today, but I found this really great video. And this would have been somewhere back in the early days of 2021, where Fauci was actually walking through the downtown city streets of New York, and he had all his minions with him, and he was trying to get people to take the vaccine. And he had a campaign where he went from house to house with a news crew and trying to get people to... trying to convince them to take the vaccine. So take a listen to what happened when they got to this one man's house. And maybe it wasn't New York City. Maybe it was Brooklyn, because I don't think New York City has houses. I think they're all apartments now. But it was either Brooklyn or Queens, but somewhere in, let's just say somewhere in the five boroughs of New York. Take a listen to what this incredible man had to say the day that Fauci and his minions knocked on his door and tried to convince him to take the vaccine. Mia just posted, I hope he told him off. Well, he did, but he did it in a very intelligent and respectful way. Take a listen to Man Tells Fauci He Won't Be Taking His Vaccine in 2021.
People in America are not settled with the information that's been given to us right now.
So I'm not going to be lining up taking a shot on a vaccination for something that wasn't clear in the first place. And then you all create a shot in miraculous time. It takes years to...
Well, it used to take years.
Okay, it used to.
You know how many years were invested in this approach? About 20 years of science to get us to be able to do it.
20 years is not enough. And 9 months is definitely not enough for nobody to be taking no vaccination that you all came up with.
The only reason I'm talking to you right now, as close as we are, is that I've been vaccinated.
Right.
But if it allow thousands of people like you don't get vaccinated, you're going to let this virus continue to percolate in this country and in this world.
Something like the common flu then, right?
It's much more serious
than the flu. Though.
Well, the flu kills a lot of people annually, too.
You know how many people died of the flu the last year? I mean, not this year, virtually none, but the previous year, about 20 to 30,000. You know how many people have died from COVID-19 in the United States? 600,000 Americans.
The number that you all giving that died, that's once again, that's you all's number.
You gonna pass.
Yeah, definitely. Because when you start talking about paying people to get vaccinated, when you start talking about incentivizing things to get people vaccinated, there's something else going on with that.
Something else going on. But I'm glad millions of people like me and most everybody here didn't get an incentive. You know what their incentive was? Protecting their health and protecting the city. But I won't keep you anymore.
It's okay, because my incentive, y'all campaign is about fear. It's about inciting fear in people. You all attack people with fear. That's what this pandemic is. It's a fear. It's fear, this pandemic. That's all it is.
Good Morning America is brought to you by Pfizer.
CBS Health Watch, sponsored by Pfizer.
Anderson Cooper 360. Brought to you by Pfizer.
ABC News Nightline. Brought to you by Pfizer. Making a difference. Brought to you by Pfizer.
CNN Tonight. Brought to you by Pfizer. Early Start. Brought to you by Pfizer. Friday night on Aaron Burnett Out Front. Brought to you by Pfizer. This Week with George Stephanopoulos is brought to you by Pfizer.
This weather report brought to you by Pfizer.
Today's countdown to the royal wedding is brought to you by Pfizer.
And now a CBS Sports Update brought to you by Pfizer.
Meet the Press data download brought to you by Pfizer.
This portion of CBS This Morning sponsored by Pfizer.
On how to find the hidden sugars in the American family diet. Sponsored by Pfizer.
So there you have this video that just came across my path today. And whoever that guy is, I would just like to buy him a cup of coffee and say, good job, and maybe share the gospel with him. But that to me, I mean, I wish I would have found that video a year ago. What a great, great thing that guy said. And you know, just really stood his ground. You can go to our Twitter feed, and I'll put the link into the chat room if you want to actually see this video. This guy holds his ground, and he knows what he's talking about, and it was really just an amazing interaction. And then when you watch the video, it shows Fauci getting into the back of a limo, and he gives a big sigh, and he pops two aspirins. Oh, man. Don't you just love when you get a chance to frustrate the devil, even if it's just a little bit? Don't you just love it when you get a chance just to push back just a little bit? Isn't that an amazing thing? That's one of the things that we do here at Now the End Begins, is we push back on the world. And Paul says this in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, this is what the Apostle Paul told Timothy. Verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul says, I have fought a good fight. Who did Paul fight? Did he fight the Romans? No. Did he fight the government? No. Did he fight the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the scribes? No. Did he fight the ruling religious elite? No. He fought the world, the flesh, and the devil. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. What course did Paul have? Well, to preach and teach the gospel of the grace of God. And then he says, I have kept the faith. He didn't let the world take it from him. And yesterday on the Sunday service, my message was about not letting the world beguile you of your reward at the judgment seat of Christ. And that's exactly what Paul's talking about here. 2 Timothy 4:8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. So you say to yourself, yeah, Paul gets a crown. He was the leader. But keep reading. And Paul says, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. The Apostle Paul says that you and I can get a crown if we love the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ at the rapture. And if you do, you will fight the good fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil. You will finish the course that the Lord gave you to do, and you will keep the faith. That's how you get along in the world that we're living in right now. Before we switch gears and go on to our next topic, let's take a listen. Ron DeSantis talking about the possibility of Donald Trump being arrested. Ron DeSantis issued a video statement earlier in the day today. So let's check in with what Trump's rival, potential rival for 2024, has to say about the possibility of Donald Trump getting arrested.
So I've seen rumors swirl. I have not seen any facts yet, and so I don't know what's going to happen. But I do know this. The Manhattan district attorney is a Soros-funded prosecutor. And so he, like other Soros-funded prosecutors, they weaponize their office to impose a political agenda on society at the expense of the rule of law and public safety. He has downgraded over 50% of the felonies to misdemeanors. He says he doesn't want to even have jail time for the vast, vast majority of crimes. And what we've seen in Manhattan is we've seen the crime rate go up, and we've seen citizens become less safe. And so you're talking about this situation with, and look, I don't know what goes into paying hush money to a porn star to secure silence over some type of alleged affair. I can't speak to that. But what I can speak to is that if you have a prosecutor.
Ouch. He nailed Trump pretty good. Oh, man.
Who is ignoring crimes happening every single day in his jurisdiction, and he chooses to go back many, many years ago to try to use something about porn star hush money payments, you know, that's an example of pursuing a political agenda and weaponizing the office. And I think that that's fundamentally wrong. I also think it's important to point out when you're talking about these Soros-funded prosecutors, yes, they may do a high-profile politicized prosecution, and that's bad, but the real victims are ordinary New Yorkers, ordinary Americans in all these different jurisdictions, that they get victimized every day because of the reckless political agenda that these Soros DAs bring to their job. They ignore crime and they empower criminals, and that hurts people. It hurts a lot of people every single day. These Soros district attorneys are a menace to society, and I'm just glad that I'm the only governor in the country that's actually removed one from office during my tenure. And in terms of we are not involved in this, won't be involved in this. I have no interest in getting involved in some type of manufactured circus by some Soros DA, okay? He's trying to do a political spectacle. He's trying to virtue signal for his base. I've got real issues I got to deal with here in the state of Florida. We're obviously shutting down CBDC, which is important. We've got so many things pending in front of the legislature. I've got to spend my time on issues that actually matter to people. I can't spend my time worrying about things of that nature. So we're not going to be involved in it in any way. I'm fighting for Floridians, and I'm fighting back against Biden. That's what I do every single day.
Yep. So there you have Governor Ron DeSantis, and he was talking about he's not concerned about Trump having sex with a porn star, allegedly, or whatever hush money payments. And that was a very smooth response to the jabs that Donald Trump has been taking at Ron DeSantis. He called him a meatball a couple of weeks ago, and he has cast a whole boatload of aspersions at the feet of Ron DeSantis. So that was a very high class and classy way to respond truthfully and accurately. Somebody in the chat room asked me if I believe that Vladimir Putin is a war criminal, because at the start of the broadcast today, I said this: communist Chinese leader Xi Jinping lands in Russia for meeting with war criminal Putin. I was reading from the article that we published for this program today, and the words war criminal are in quotation marks. And the reason why that they are in quotation marks is because that is what the International Criminal Court has decided. If you saw in the news last week, we didn't report on it because I didn't think it was much of a story. But the International Criminal Court has ruled that Vladimir Putin is a war criminal. And so when I was talking about Putin in the article today, I use the expression war criminal, but if you look at the article, you will see it is in quotation marks, and I am simply referencing what other people have called him. I do not think that Putin is any more or less of a war criminal than Vladimir Zelensky is. I think what's happening in Ukraine, I feel bad for the Ukrainian people. I feel bad for the Russian people. In any war, it is always the citizens that pay the price in any war. And I feel terrible for what's happening to the Russian people and the Ukrainian people. But as far as the governments go, I think that that $200 billion that has been sent to the pro-Nazi regime of Ukraine, that's money laundering. I think that is money laundering. And so, you know, I also saw people in the chat room talking about, well, I don't think DeSantis is any better than the rest of them. And you know what? From a very high level perspective, I would agree with that. There is no way that you can spend any length of time at a website like Now the End Begins and hear all the things that we talk about and all the Bible studies that we do about end times prophecy. I don't see how it's possible you could listen to all of that and still have faith in any politician. Now, I'm an American, and I very much appreciate the right that we have to have elections and that we get to vote in our elections. And I only ever not voted one time in my entire life. That was when Barack Obama was running for his second term in 2012. And I was so disgusted with the recession and the inflation. I lost a lot of money in 2010, 2011, when the Obama economy crashed. I lost a lot of money, and I was in a really tough financial situation. And I got so disgusted with the Obama-Biden regime that I said, you know what? I'm not going to vote. So I didn't vote. And you know what? I regretted it. I felt bad afterwards. So the way that I look at it, and you can come to your own conclusion, but the way that I look at it is I'm glad that I'm an American. I'm glad that I can vote, and I'm glad that I can cast that vote. So I'm not going to lose any sleep with who's counting the votes and what happened to my vote and all that stuff. I'm an American. I'm going to cast a vote. Now, when we get to the primaries, I'm going to, in the primary election, if Ron DeSantis is running, I'm going to vote for Ron DeSantis. I'm not telling you to vote for Ron DeSantis. I'm just telling you what, at this point, I think that I'm going to do. Now, let's just say that Ron DeSantis, he doesn't win the primary, or he doesn't run for president. Then if Donald Trump is running for president, I'm probably going to vote for Trump for a third time. And that's just the way it's going to be. I don't have much faith in these elections, and I really don't have any faith in Donald Trump to get anything done. I think that he did not keep a lot of his campaign promises, and he didn't build the wall. I don't care what you say. For the first 2 years of his presidency, he had the Senate and he had the House, and he didn't build the wall. He didn't keep his main campaign promise. But if he's running for president and DeSantis doesn't make it, am I going to vote for Trump? I probably am going to vote for Trump. I'm not going to enjoy it very much, but I'm probably going to vote for Trump. Now, getting back to that clip of that man who Fauci and his minions were trying to convince to take the shot. And he said that he wasn't going to take the shot because it didn't seem right. And they were trying to give away all this free stuff. Do you remember what it was like in the early days of 2021? It was like some sort of a carnival. And they were trying to give you all these different prizes if you would just roll up your sleeve and get vaccinated. Take a listen to this.
There are drops. 18.
Depending on where you live, getting the vaccine means the chance at a check like this.
That's right. You could win $1 million.
How about a chance to win $1 million?
The winner each Wednesday will receive $1 million.
Faced with falling vaccination rates, states across the U.S. are rolling out incentives to get residents to roll up their sleeves.
Are we ready?
But are these offers working? 40. And are they worth the cost?
Stay safe, Ohio.
We needed to just shake things up. We needed to bring some excitement. And I felt that $1 million would bring excitement.
What a night it is for you.
Lotteries like this one in Ohio are part of a ballooning list of vaccine incentives that has included free donuts, free beer, fishing licenses, baseball tickets, a lap around Talladega Super Speedway, and...
We're going to give 5 custom hunting rifles and 5 custom hunting shotguns away.
I'm just going to stop that clip right there. Do you remember... It was like watching a late night infomercial. But wait, there's more. And one of the reasons that that clip from that man facing down Fauci is so powerful is that he had the guts to look Fauci right in the eye and tell him, dude, none of this makes any sense. Why are you going through all these hoops and giving away all these free prizes to get us to try and take this vaccine that was rushed through in a mere 20 weeks as opposed to 104 weeks, the normal time to test a vaccine?
Many of these freebies and lotteries started popping up last month as the rate of vaccination in the U.S. slumped to about half of what it was at its peak in April.
It's not surprising that we've reached a point where the supply of vaccines far exceeds demand, and it's time to start getting creative about how to get some of the stragglers over the finish line. But at the same time, we have to be very clear-eyed about what these incentives can and can't do.
Hey, how are you?
When Ohio Governor Mike DeWine announced the Vax-a-Million lottery on May 12th, it was the first of its kind, offering adults a chance to win one of 5 $1 million prizes and teens a chance to win one of 5 full-ride scholarships.
We were going down, 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 and we couldn't break it, no matter what we did. So we didn't know what else to do. So we came up with this idea, having no guarantee that it would work.
Experts like Dr. Emily Largent, who researches how incentives are used in medical studies, say lotteries won't motivate everyone.
This is not a cure-all. This is something fun, makes sense to try, but we shouldn't count on this as being the magic bullet.
Recent polling shows about 12% of Americans still plan to wait and see before getting the vaccine. Of those, only a small number said they would be motivated to do so by guaranteed incentives like $100 from their state or free tickets to a sporting event or concert. These offers and lotteries may even trigger the opposite response.
In some instances, offering large amounts of money to do something that people perceive as risky or burdensome can make them feel like it's even riskier or more burdensome than it actually is.
And that's an excellent point. When you take things that are associated with your health and you start to give away free prizes, the average person, if they're even halfway awake, will start to immediately get suspicious why you would want to do that. Now, that was the early days of 2021. When they rolled out the vaccine, we had a fairly large amount of Americans who took the first one. We had a smaller amount of Americans who took the second one. We had a smaller amount than that of Americans who agreed to take the booster. And almost nobody wanted the second booster, regardless of what your political affiliation was. Now, why would that be? If the vaccine is really as good as they said it is, and it really accomplished what they claimed that it would do, then why would you have such drastically falling vaccine rates as the pandemic continued to expand? Well, take a listen to this clip entitled, "They told me the COVID vaccine wouldn't do this to me."
I got the COVID vaccine because I'm vulnerable and my doctor told me to.
I got the vaccine to do the right thing.
I got the vaccine to make sure that my dad wouldn't get sick.
I got the COVID vaccine because my husband kept getting exposed to COVID at work.
I got the vaccine to protect my health.
I got the vaccine to protect my friends, my family, and my patients.
I received the vaccine to help protect my patients.
I got the vaccine to be able to travel.
I got the vaccine to protect my dad and my husband.
I got my vaccine because I wanted to help protect people and I wanted life to go back to normal.
But now I'm injured. And then after I was sick, I was told I don't know what to do by doctors.
My physician told me the vaccine couldn't do this to me and that I was healthy.
My doctor said the second jab could kill me, but he later tried to blame something else.
My doctor said that my symptoms could not have come from the vaccine.
My doctor doesn't know what to do.
My doctor said it's kind of like we're all guinea pigs because this is all so new. We don't really know how to deal with these reactions that we're seeing.
I've been told not to share my story because it scares people.
I have been told that I should have known better than to get the vaccine. Or I told you not to get the vaccine.
My friends tell me I got mine and I'm just fine.
I've had many people tell me that my injury is not from the vaccine.
My family told me that I was just stressed and anxious.
I had a friend tell me, well, I guess you're just one of the unlucky ones because I was fine.
Someone close to me told me that I should be silent for the greater good.
I have been bullied. I've had death threats. I've been made fun of.
I have been injured now for 10 months.
5 months.
For 6 months.
11 months.
11 months.
11 months.
11 months. 12 months.
13 months.
Nearly 4 months now.
For 7 months.
For 12 months.
13 months.
I've now been injured for 13 months.
No one knows how to help us.
No one wants to believe it.
So there you have the testimony of a random sampling of people, 6 or 7 people, who very much wish that they did not take the vaccine or the booster shots. Now, if you took the vaccine and you took the boosters and you didn't have a adverse reaction, well, praise the Lord. and very, very happy that that did not happen to you. But I personally know people who have had severe adverse reactions from the vaccine, personal friends of mine. The VAERS website, here's a report through March 10th of 2023. 1,533,181 people have reported that there have been 34,725 deaths attributed to the vaccine, 194,000 hospitalizations, 147,000 trips to urgent care, over 250,000 doctor's visits, 10,000 cases of anaphylaxis, 16,000 cases of Bell's palsy, 18,000 heart attacks, 26,000 cases of myo or pericarditis, 64,000 people permanently disabled, and the list goes on and on and on. So kudos to that man, whoever he was, who stood up to Anthony Fauci and his minions and said that he had no plan to take it, and that something was a little bit fishy. Now, talking about things that are strange and happening around the world, something weird happening in school systems around the world. Take a listen to what Jason A. found yesterday when he took a quick trip around the headlines. What's happening in schools around the world?
How about this? 28 girls hospitalized after playing with Ouija boards at their school in Colombia.
You remember it, don't you? The girls had signs of an anxiety attack. The school's apparently waiting for a diagnosis before providing further information here. But it is worth noting that one mom said her kids always have a good breakfast and the fainting was not due to a lack of food. This isn't the first time this has happened in a Colombian school. Back in November, 11 teenagers collapsed after using a Ouija board at another school in Colombia. It was later reported that at least five of them had suffered from food poisoning there. No. I will do it to you.
Maybe just don't use Ouija boards.
I agree with that. That's what I vote
Those
for.
Those things do creep me out. The ghost and all that paranormal stuff.
Have you ever used one, though?
I used to mess around like back in like eighth grade school or something. Sure. With some buddies, but... they're hokey, but I don't know. Any supernatural stuff, if it is true, I don't ever want to see a ghost or anything like that because I'll be ruined for life.
To Iran, where authorities are investigating what the Iranian government is calling potentially deliberate poisoning of hundreds of schoolgirls. According to senior officials, the girls from schools across the country have been suffering respiratory, cardiac, and neurological symptoms. Iranian media is reporting that the poisonings have been taking place for months.
Hundreds of girls across the country have fallen victim to suspected poison attacks. The alleged poisonings started in November last year in the Shiite holy city of Qom. Reports suggest over 60 schools across 21 of the country's 30 provinces have seen suspected cases. Over 1,000 children have been affected so far, over 1,000 of them. That the alleged poisoning cases might actually be psychogenic in nature, highlighting the fact that almost all sufferers have recovered quickly. The report says that the news of these poisoning cases should be taken with a pinch of salt. The report says there are startling similarities between the cases in Iran and previous incidents reported from Afghanistan and the West Bank. In all these cases, female students in Islamic schools in different time periods exhibited symptoms like headaches, nausea, abdominal pain, and blurred vision. According to the Psychology Today report, the girls in all three cases were suffering from a mass psychogenic illness. The report says it follows a pattern: a mass illness, media frenzy, and accusations of state terrorism.
And I'm, you know, playing with the devil.
Of course I did. Anyways, according to the story, nearly 30 schoolgirls in Colombia wanted all the smoke. 28 schoolgirls were hospitalized with anxiety attacks after allegedly playing with Ouija boards at school. Now, according to various reports, the girls suffered from fainting, anxiety, and other symptoms after playing the board game and they were admitted to a hospital accompanied by parents and school faculty. Info on their diagnosis has not been released. So we all put our hands on the Ouija board and we ask it questions, and it would start moving. Like, and I'm like, are you moving it? And she's like, no, are you moving it? And it would spell things. We would ask it questions, and it did move. One time I was playing the game. I got addicted to it. I'm not going to lie. I left it alone. My phone rang downstairs. My mom said, Claudia, you got a phone call. I go, wait. I want to test it to see if it's real. I said, who's on the phone call board? And it spelled out Sterling. And when I got on the phone, it was a guy named Sterling that I went to nursery school with when I was 5. So it freaked me out. We ended up throwing it away, or it got missing. It disappeared. No, I think it disappeared. But it did work, y'all. It worked. I'll mess with it now, but it did work when I was young. I'm honest.
And it's funny because you've never lied in our friendship, so I'm going to take your story for face value.
It works.
But I just don't believe it. Like,
so when I come to Miami, do you want to try it?
No, but you bring this shit to my house. No, just in case.
So there you have the headlines from Jason A. Something strange happening around the world in all of our schools. Back on November 17th of 2022, we published an article called Just in Time for Saturnalia, Christmas. It's the Holy Spirit talking board for you to have a guaranteed demon-free seance with Jesus. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:22 to abstain from all appearance of evil. Now, we are so far along on the end times timeline that we have reached the point where you have things like the Enneagram. And we talked about this last week. I gave you the top 10 signs that your church may already be involved in the New Age and the occult. And one of those things that lets you know that your church is involved in the occult is that it uses something called the Enneagram. And last year we did that article about something called the Holy Spirit Board, which says that you can communicate directly with Jesus Christ. And the people who made this ridiculous thing, they say they guarantee that you will have a demon-free encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, turn to Genesis chapter 49. Let's do a little Bible study, shall we? Genesis chapter 49. And get that in one hand, get Matthew 24 in the other hand, and get 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 in your third hand. Genesis 49, verse 1. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. So all the way back in Genesis chapter 49, talking about the last days, and that's a whole other Bible study unto itself, the prophecy that Jacob gives over his sons, the 12 tribes of Israel, about what's going to happen in the last days. Then turn to Matthew chapter 24. Let's look at verse 3. Matthew 24, verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? That's exactly what Jacob was telling his 12 sons. Gather yourselves together, and I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Now, the curveball is, somewhere along the way, people are not going to believe what the scriptures plainly revealed to be true. Habakkuk 1:5. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your day which you will not believe. Habakkuk says, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to show you, but you're not going to believe it. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. This is what happens immediately after the rapture. And then shall that wicked, capital W, that's Antichrist, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Now, we are so close to that. The Bible, if you keep reading a couple verses later, it says that God is going to send strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And we are at that point right now. We are not in the time of Jacob's trouble. We are not in the tribulation. We are not even in the strong delusion. But what we are in is that murky, middle, hazy, gray area as one dispensation is closing. That's the church age. And the other dispensation is preparing itself to arrive and come in. That's the time of Jacob's trouble. We are so close to getting out of here that it doesn't matter where you look. It doesn't matter where you turn. The demons are rising everywhere. There's a movie that has come out called Come Out in Jesus' Name. And there's a guy named Greg Locke who used to be a King James Fundamental Baptist preacher. And he is now a name it and claim it deliverance ministry exorcist. And his new movie, he's not preaching the gospel. He's casting out demons.
In the New Testament, is it verifiable that Christians can be attacked and oppressed by demons?
Come on. God used controversy.
Look, I'm on the list.
He used CNN. He used the media. He used all of it to grow a massive size platform. Controversy built our platform.
Two genders.
It was never about the controversy. It was never about the politics. I thought it was. I thought it was about Trump. I thought it was about COVID. But God built our platform for deliverance.
We are headed more into seeing prophecy fulfilled before our very eyes.
There's a kingdom of righteousness and there's a kingdom of darkness.
Something in our being craves something supernatural.
If you're addicted to something, you have company.
And he said in the last days, the church will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. They will begin to listen to demonic doctrines.
He doesn't mind you going to church. He doesn't mind you praising as long as you don't change.
There's a great awakening that is coming.
The kingdom of God is not about talk.
Jesus is king!
It's about power and demonstration.
The state of the church in the United States, I believe, needs a reawakening of deliverance because of the evil that's going around.
Christians can be under the influence of satanic oppression.
Let me tell you something. In my opinion, I think that Greg Locke is under the influence of satanic oppression. Let me just give you guys a fair word of warning. We are hearing a lot about something called deliverance ministries. Over the next couple of months, that's going to increase, and you're going to see these deliverance ministries popping up everywhere. And they're all going to be connected to the charismatic church. They're all going to be connected to the Pentecostal, charismatic, and word of faith organizations. Not every charismatic Pentecostal church, but as a group, the charismatic Pentecostal and word of faith movements have launched something called deliverance ministries. Stay away from those things. They are satanic. They are bad. They are not casting out demons. They are imparting demons. I'll say that again. Deliverance ministries are not, and if you're listening, Greg Locke, you can call me up anytime. Go to nowtheendbegins.com, go to the About section, and you can book a 15-minute phone call with me, and I'll be happy to tell this to you. I'll be happy to tell this to you over the phone. Deliverance ministries are of the devil. Stay away from them. Have nothing to do with them. They are not real, but what they do is really demonic.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Fire of God. Fire of God. Fire of God.
And I see a very strange vision right now where I see crowns within crowns within crowns within crowns within crowns within crowns. And as soon as you take the crown off and place it on the child, I see like a pyramid of crowns upon the child's head. And they take the largest one off and place it on another. And there's another one there. And I see I feel like there's this. It's like a mountain of provision, of anointing. The more you give away, the more you will receive, says the Lord. So right now, I'm sensing really strongly. It's going to sound a little odd, but too late. I want you just to take... in the spirit realm, that crown that's on your head, and just place it upon someone else. They're going to just get wrecked all over the room. You're just going to, okay, don't do it. Don't do it like it doesn't matter. Do it in the most impartation, that you've ever believed for right now. You're going to impart to each other. So you're going to take it. You're going to put it on somebody else's head, a watch, and then say, more, Lord. Whoa! More, Lord. Everybody, place that anointing, that crown, that gift upon someone else's head. Keep praying. Every single one of you, impartation, legacy, 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 legacy.
By the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of the Lamb, God, I pray, I pray, I pray, I pray, healing, healing, healing. I pray, I pray, I pray, deliverance, 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 deliverance. Yes, Lord, 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 yes, Lord. Karamosharadanda Rabasha Karabamanda Diasa Uratatarata Lamoho Shakaya. Yes, Lord, have your way, have your way, have your way, have your way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Doesn't matter what they think. Oh, no more diesta pagaliano. Oh, le bevedia bashodopre. In a man, man, no moko lombon jemba.
I'm plumb, I'm hungry, I'm a head. I'm a stage cap. Pull bum in a my epe, pamato, jovo, bolly, pira, ma. Ele ma vai che chi ne pensi? Tam framma. Beh, grede.
Sukor ne me in bramban giungolo ci e ma sukor di este che.
2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Paul says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers. Kenneth Copeland, Rodney Howard Brown, Greg Locke, Asbury Revival, Jesus Revolution Movie. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, Beth Moore, Paula White, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears, Joel Osteen, from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. So, we're going to be talking a lot more about this in the coming days. And we're going to be exposing the works of darkness as we always do our best to do. And we're going to be taking on this new thing called Deliverance Ministries. That's what the Asbury Revival was all about. It wasn't a revival. It wasn't even really a prayer meeting. It was a large 24-hour-per-day deliverance ministry. That's exactly what they were doing there. And you got to stay away from that stuff. Don't get sucked into that stuff. It is not. Now, when I say that it's not biblical for our dispensation. You can look in the book of Acts and you can see people casting out demons. You can go to Mark chapter 16 and you can see people casting out demons. But we don't have those powers. We don't have the apostolic signs, miracles, and wonders. And the way that you know that you don't have that is when your loved one gets sick, you are unable to heal them and raise them up out of their sick bed. The way that you know that you don't have that power is that when your loved ones die, you go to the funeral, you say your goodbyes, and you put your flower on top of the coffin just like anybody else does. That's how you know that you don't have the apostolic signs, miracles, and wonders. Because you can't do it. Now, in Mark chapter 16, turn there for a moment. In Mark chapter 16, this is what Jesus says. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now we call that the Great Commission. But dispensationally speaking, the Great Commission of the Gospels is given to Jewish people. And the gospel that they're given to preach is the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. That is not the Great Commission that we have. I already read to you the Great Commission that we have, and it's found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. We are called to preach the word, to preach and teach the gospel of the grace of God. Now, in Mark 16, 17, Jesus says to the same group of people that he just told to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. So, these fakers are trying to replicate the signs that they don't have. This is what deliverance ministries are trying to do. And when you call them out, they will point to verses like Matthew 16, 17. All right, let's see. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. And that's why you have all this hostile ashanti anti abotai. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Jesus says these same people can handle poisonous snakes and drink poison. And then it says they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, I have been issuing my own personal NTEB challenge to charismatic pastors anywhere in the world. If you feel that you have these signs, then I invite you to come to St. Augustine, Florida, and I invite you to show me. And what we'll do, I'll send you a plane ticket. If you think that you have the apostolic signs, then I invite you to come to St. Augustine, Florida, and we're going to go to the hospital, and I'm going to film whatever happens, and we're going to see how many people that you attempt to heal and how many people actually get healed. Now, I have been issuing this challenge for 12 years. The number of charismatic pastors and evangelists who have agreed to take that challenge are absolutely zero. And the reason why it's absolutely zero, because they can't do it. And you know you can't do it. If I'm talking to somebody right now who has the apostolic signs, miracles, and wonders, I'm calling you a liar. And you have the chance to prove me wrong. I want you to come to St. Augustine, Florida, and let's see what you can do at the hospital. And hey, if it turns out that you have the apostolic gift of instantaneous healing, then you know what I'll do? In addition for paying for your plane ticket and putting you up at a hotel, I will do a front page article and I will repent of my unbelief in the apostolic signs, miracles, and wonders for the church age. All you have to do is show up. All you have to do is go with me to the hospital. And all you have to do is raise sick people out of their sick bed. All you have to do is to like what it says in Acts chapter 3. Have you ever read Acts chapter 3? Acts chapter 3, verse 2. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And leaping up, he stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. If you take my challenge, that's what you got to be able to do. And if you can't do it, you're a big fat liar. And all you do is fool your people and you get them all whipped up into a frenzy with music and singing and shouting and tambourines and drums and shouting at the top of your voice like Greg Locke loves to do. And he is nothing but a deceiver. He's a liar. He does not have the apostolic signs. He's not casting out demons. Let me tell you something. He is putting demons into people. That's what he's doing. Don't let these fakers put demons into you. Rebuke this stuff. That's what we're called to do. And hey, if what I'm saying makes you mad, then you just gotta be mad then. Because there is not one charismatic Pentecostal word of faith minister that will ever take this challenge. I've been offering it for 12 years. And nobody has taken it. And they don't take it because they're fakers and they're phonies and they're nothing but big fat liars. But let me tell you something. Let me close on this note. Jesus says in Matthew that the very first sign of the end times is deception. Jesus says in Matthew 24:4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. What comes immediately after the rapture? The strong delusion. Don't let them fool you. Don't let them cast a demon into you. Nobody in the church age has the apostolic signs and wonders. They cannot do miracles. At the very least, they're just trying to get your money. And at the very worst, you're going to wind up with a demon. Don't have anything to do with these people. And on that happy note, we've come to the end of our time for today. I thank you so much for being part of the NTEB Global Family of Bible Believers, King James Bible Believers across America and around the world. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another edition of our Rightly Dividing King James Bible Study. Have a great week, everybody.
I've been in valleys, and they seem so low. I've been on mountains, and they were so tall. I've had my roses along life's way. My God, he knows what I need when I pray. Of a storm, soon I shall see him in my new home. He makes me smile through all my tears. He makes me strong. Yes, he gives me
my